Please be seated. Well, friends, if you were here last week for the baptism of our Lord, you may recognize this text. It may sound strangely familiar. And in fact, last week we heard from Matthew, and this is basically the same story in the Gospel of John. However, in Matthew's version, it skips over the second part about Andrew and Simon Peter, and it goes straight into Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. But John takes a different tact, right? John tells us about relationships that Jesus is having with two guys who would become his disciples. So in this moment, we hear about baptism and the calling of the first disciples. And John the Baptist, John the disciple was probably also there, John the beloved. But John the Baptist has said, "Look, here is the Son of God, the Lamb of God." And his disciples, John's disciples, followed Jesus. So there was sort of a handoff happening, that these guys were following John initially, and John said, "This is the one I've been telling you about." And so they suddenly have a new teacher. Now, some of you may know that disciples is from the Latin word discipuli, meaning student. And rabbi is translated teacher. So we have a dynamic between students and their teacher all throughout the gospel, and especially in this particular text. So the teacher naturally is going to be engaging with the students in certain ways. And the question that the disciples first ask their teacher, they've just found out he's the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And what's the first question? "Where are you staying?" Really? The first question, you've just found out he's the Lamb of God, the Son of God, and you ask, "Where are you staying tonight? Will it be uptown or maybe at the Holiday Inn?" But Jesus, in his kindness, responds and says, "Come and see." However, I think the disciples' question, as is often the case, is actually much deeper than it first appears. It might not so much be, "Where are you staying?" but, "Where can we find you?" Because "where can we find you" is more than just about a hotel or a room for a night. And we know that we come to know Jesus through taking time to follow him, by learning what he's about, by being in the places where Jesus is present. Now, some of you may have experienced Jesus in places like church or at the homeless shelter at Hildebrand this week, even. Maybe other places out in the world or on the street. And when we see Jesus, do we always recognize him? I would offer that we don't always recognize him, because we don't always know what the disciples were asking. "Where are you? Where can I find you? Where are you staying?" But that is a process that we learn through faith. Now, something that I think is important about this question, "Where can we find you?" is that it is not as if there is some rule book we're talking about that Jesus has offered to them. You got to follow this. But Jesus has invited them into relationship, because he says to them, "Come and see. Come and see where I am. Come and see where I am staying." He does not say, "Come and do. Come and do these things I tell you." Now, that actually happens later. But first, the first thing Jesus says, come and see, really come and be. Come and be with me. We will sing today, later, come and follow me. It's a beautiful invitation that Christ offers us. Now, Peter is an example of how relationships with God can sometimes unfold in mysterious ways. Because in this text, when we hear about Peter, he's not the primary actor. Andrew is. Andrew is the one who paid attention and followed. Andrew is the one that runs back to Peter, then Simon Peter, and said, hey, 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 we found the Messiah. We found where he is. We found the anointed one. And then Peter comes into the picture. And as you know, throughout Scripture, the learning that we get, talk about student and teacher and learning and growth, the learning that we get is often when Peter is there. Right? Peter is the one that when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, being handed over, being arrested, Peter is the one that pulls out his sword and strikes off the ear of the high priest's slave. Because he's trying to protect Jesus. Why wouldn't you? You're protecting your rabbi, someone you love and care about. But Jesus says, no, Peter, no. The sword is not the way. I am the way, he says later. And again, just a few hours perhaps later, Jesus has said, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And what does Peter do? Right? He denies Jesus. So again, some of these learnings come at Peter's expense. But in the end, in the book of Acts, when we read about Peter, he is a changed man. His relationship with Jesus that started with just, hey, there's this guy. And then it became, hey, the anointed one, the Messiah. Follow him, follow me. He followed. Peter followed. And by the book of Acts, we hear about a man who is a leader, who loves Christ and who makes that love known, and who dies a martyr. That's very different from where he began in this passage in the Gospel of John. But he did what Jesus asked, and he came and he saw, and he followed. So Jesus is saying to his first followers, come and see. And it's what he says to us today. Come and see what I'm about, where I stay, with whom I fellowship. And before you speak about faith, come and dwell in the places where I am and in the people who are coming to know me. This is an invitation in time and space to see and hear, to learn what life with God looks like and feels like, sounds like. It's not about following some rule book. It's about sharing in the life that God desires us to have. And we could repeat the endless sayings of Jesus. He said a lot of things. But if we don't know him or can't recognize him, then perhaps we have not bothered to follow him. Jesus is present to us in places and people, and often it can be an utter mystery, the ways in which God works in our lives. And the question for us is, do we know him well enough to recognize him? Will we see Jesus amidst the noise and clamor of our world. There are a lot of things that vie for our attention in the world, and they also say, come and see. But the world does not invite us into relationship in the way that the Son of God is. Jesus has invited us into a place of intimacy, into a place of closeness. Jesus wants to know our fears and our joys. Just like he was with his first disciples, Jesus is okay with questions. And he may offer questions back, like any good rabbi does. And as long as we have the invitation to come and see, we are still disciples. We are still students, and we are following, we are learning, we are growing. We never really arrive in the sense that we graduate, because we are not the teacher. God is. Now, when we gather to read scripture and share in the elements at communion here at the altar, and when we serve those who are strangers and outcasts, we are where Jesus said we would find him. And this, my friends, is the reason why our Christian beliefs matter. It means that faith is, at its heart, at the very first, an invitation to do what Jesus said, to come and see. Amen.